This sound was recorded on the 27th of February 1962. Sitter Mrs. Conacher, medium Leslie Flint.
I think the weather must have been worse in the southeast, you know, Mr. Paul.
Probably, yes. It was very, very bad here yesterday.
Was it?
It snowed practically all day, and
yes.
It was quite, well, getting deepish, you know.
Yes. Oh, it was terrible in Bexhill. You know, we're in that southeasterly corner, where it comes right across. But today was so different. Trains running normally and everything.
We always seem so unprepared, don't we,
yes,
for bad weather.
We really are. And actually, you know, this isn't terrible weather, is it?
Not all that bad.
This is a very quiet room, isn't it, you know?
It is really. It is probably the quietest room in the house, I think, or
yes,
at least in this flat.
Considering your
right bang on,
and
yes,
everything.
It varies occasionally.
Yes.
Sometimes it's a little not so noisy, but you hear the traffic occasionally. Mm-hmm.
And how are you?
Oh, hello, Mickey. How nice of you to leave your more genial abode.
Well, I don't know. It's my job. I'm very happy to come and talk to people and help people and try to give them some insight into something that's worthwhile and make them realise that life is just more than having a good time.
Oh, yes, of course. But you...
Not that many people have a good time. Even those who've got money, they're only kidding themselves. Half the time, they're miserable.
Are they?
It's like everything. If you have too much of a good thing, you don't value it, and you get bored with it.
Yes.
I think the point about living, really living, is to be doing something which you really love doing, and something that is useful and helpful to other people, and brings you pleasure in the realisation that you're bringing happiness and, well, help to others.
Yes, Mickey.
It is to have true values, and then you can have a happy life.
That's quite true. Did you hear what my husband said about you last week?
Yes, he was very kind, wasn't he?
He said you were a jewel in the rough.
Well, ha-ha, I'm not a jewel in the rough. I'm no jewel, lady.
Yes, you must be.
I'm just one of those people who try to do a job and help people and give them some comfort.
Yes, you do.
course it's very difficult, you know. Some people, they just don't seem to realise that behind all this is something much more than is on the surface, you know.
Yes.
It isn't just only momentarily cheering them up or helping them. It's trying to help them think and act differently and make the world a better place in which to live.
Yes.
But people get very self-centred, even those who call themselves spiritualists. They don't always realise it, but they are.
Are they? Yes.
Oh, a lot of them, yes. They go around in circles and get nowhere.
Yes. Yes. It should, of course, enlarge one's vision in all directions.
Yes, but it's an extraordinary number of people who don't really make much advancement. They're still fundamentally very much the same people, and I don't know, perhaps I'm being a little critical, and I shouldn't be. It's not good to be critical, not perhaps kind. I don't mean to be unkind.
Oh, I'm sure you couldn't be,
Mickey. A lot of people are. I don't know. It's so disappointing.
Yes.
I mean, we make every effort to help them and comfort them and uplift them and give them encouragement and do everything in our power, but somehow the majority of people, they just go on in the same old sweet way. You're a bit of a case, you are, you know.
Am I?
Yes, I have a little smile at you sometimes.
Do you? Oh dear, I'm glad you find me funny.
You live in a little world of your own, really, don't you?
Yes.
I suppose it's rather nice. And I know that in your own little way you're trying to do what little bit you can, and you're very kind and all that. But I think what you've really got to get down to is this book.
Oh, yes.
I think that's the point. That's...
Well, my dear Mickey, I spend about 4 hours every day.
Yes, I know. I'm not disputing that, and I appreciate it, and I'm sure everybody else does, and we're all very grateful, because we know you're trying to do a good job, and you will do a good job with it.
Yes.
Never mind.
Well, you must understand it's quite different from me. I spent my whole life sort of teaching art and things like that. Not writing.
No, are you a painter?
Well, I say I taught art. I don't paint now.
But you used to?
Yes.
Do you play the piano?
No.
No? Aren't you musical?
I love music, but I can't. No, I can't play, but I love music more and more, as
yes.
a background more than anything.
Oh, well, if it's only a background, you can't be really listening, can you?
I think so.
Well, I mean, you hear it, but you don't assimilate it properly.
Oh, don't you think so? Oh. Yes, well...
Because that's exactly what happens to a lot of my sitters, you know that, don't you? They listen, but they don't hear.
Oh.
It's just background, you see.
Oh.
I mean, for instance, when I talk about something in a material sense in regard to their personal affairs or... give them some advice, if it's in our power to do it, that will help them a little bit materially. Oh, they're all ears. But you talk about something of a real spiritual nature that should uplift them. Well, they hear it, but they forget it, you know. It goes in one ear and out the other.
Oh, right.
Like your background music, you see.
I see. Oh, well, I know.
You don't mind my talking to you, do you?
Not at all,
Mickey. I mean, I sort of feel, well, if I talk too much, it don't give so long for your husband, does it?
Oh, I'm very pleased to hear you, Mickey.
But he's a sweetie. I'm very fond of him.
Oh, you're good. He's very fond of you.
Well, it's mutual. I mean, he's a decent sort, and he does try in his own little way to help.
Yes.
And he's very fond of you. Because I suppose you were a little difficult to live with at times, were you?
My past life. I've always been very easy to live with.
Oh, you know. well, perhaps I shouldn't have... Sorry, I shouldn't have said that, should I?
Well, I hope my husband will come and put in a good word for me, Mickey.
Oh, I didn't mean that unkindly.
No. I hope not. Home truths this morning, Mr. Flint.
So, I think you've been a good sort, really. I think you looked after him, did all you could for him, and was cooperative, weren't you?
Yes, I was devoted to him.
I don't think you're a materialist. I don't think money matters much to you, really, does it? As long as you can pick away, you know.
Yes, as long as one can pay the bills.
You're a bit of a caution on the quiet.
He's having a good time, isn't he? Mickey, I wish I could see you. Are you in your cap and all the rest
no.
of it? No, you're in your spirit robe.
A lot of people imagine me like that, and of course, in a sense, that's true. I mean, I was, when on Earth, rather like that, of course, but That's a material conception of me that's far removed from the reality now.
Is it?
We all make some progress, you know.
Well, I hear you've progressed very much.
I think you've done a little bit of progress in the last few years. I think you've toned down a bit.
That's funny.
What's funny? I don't mean to say you weren't a good sort and all that, but I suppose like most ladies, you were trying at times.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm speechless.
This is quite marvellous.
I bet that man where you go sometimes to have your tapes into, he's a bit puzzled about all this, ain't he?
He hasn't said much, but he does certainly look at me in a queer way.
Is it if he thinks you're crackers?
Something like that, Mickey, yes. But he's a dear. He always puts me right if anything, if my tapes go wrong.
You've got a teletape, don't you?
I did originally, but not now. No, I have a nice little man in Bex Hill.
Oh, you have a local bloke, haven't you?
Yes.
I bet he gets curious about all this spiritualistic stuff, ain't he?
Well,
they make no comment about it.
I never say anything unless there is
Hasn't he said nothing then, has he?
No.
Well, that's one way if you make a mistake. If you have to have your tapes transcribed, whatever you call it, it must arouse interest among some of these people. Think, well, what's all this, you know?
Yes, I'm sure when they hear your voice, they must wonder who you are. I haven't told them you're from the other side.
Well, I think they must guess by now.
You think so?
Must think it a bit peculiar. I bet they think you associate with some queer people.
I do see they do.
I mean, you look quite a lady when you go anywhere, don't you? And they hear me like, you know, they must think, blimey, where'd she pick him up?
Well, you've given us a good tonic this morning, Mickey.
Well, tea up a bit.
Yes. You know what the weather's like, don't you?
Yeah. Proper weather for tobogganing, isn't it?
Yes, it is indeed.
Can't imagine you sitting on a toboggan going down a hill.
You can't. No, yeah. I don't think I've ever done any.
No, I don't think you're the sort of athletic type, are you?
No. I expect you know far more about me than I know myself, Mickey.
Oh, I could tell you plenty, but I'm not going to.
No.
Oh.
Do you come to see me?
Yes.
Do you
nice
really?
Little place you've got.
Oh, have I, yes.
Well, don't you think so?
Well, most mediums who see it think it's pretty poor.
What do you mean, pretty poor?
Well, they think, for instance, Brother Peter last week didn't seem very impressed with it. My husband gave him a mental picture of it, you see. It was when my husband was talking about you, Mickey.
But what do you mean they didn't think much of your place?
Well, they seem to think I ought to have a nicer setting for my healing sanctuary.
Well, after all, I appreciate in a sense what they mean, but I'm of the opinion that you can live almost, you might say, in a garret. It's what you create in it that matters, the individual, what they put into it of their love and their being, you know.
Yes.
I mean, after all, some people just can't afford to live anywhere decent and they have to put up with some slummy old place. But some people will transform it into, well, a beautiful little place.
Yes.
By their love and their effort. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with your place.
Oh, well, I'm very glad, Mickey.
I think it's very, very charming and very comfortable.
Oh.
What do they expect you to live in? A great big mansion or something?
No, I don't know what the objection is quite, but perhaps they don't like attics. But I think they're rather interesting.
I do.
Yes. Well, Mickey, it's interesting to know that you look rather...
Well, you could afford to live somewhere else, but why should you if you're happy where you are?
Yes, exactly.
You don't live in slums, do you?
No, not quite slums.
Funny, some people are. Well, anyway, I better not take up too much of your time, otherwise you won't be much time left for your husband, will you?
Yes.
He's a case, he is.
Is he? Yes, he has a wonderful
sense. He's the real old-fashioned sort, isn't he?
Is he? Yes.
Well, because I hear him say, he is, really. He's sort of what I call the Edwardian gentleman type, you know.
Oh, I see, yes.
Well, don't you think so?
He certainly was, I think you would say, a sort of typical English gentleman.
Yes, and you're a typical English lady.
Oh, I know. I couldn't have lady applied to myself, thank
well,
you.
Well, who wants to be a lady in the Orthodox acceptance? I mean, it depends on what you mean by the word lady. If it means a title, it means nothing.
No.
If it means that you're gentle and kind and sweet, then you're a lady.
Yes, I see. Yes.
I mean, all these titles just don't mean a thing.
No, you don't use them on your side, do you?
Good Lord, now I've got more sense.
Yes.
Besides, you couldn't deceive anyone here. As soon as you see a person, you know immediately what they're really like.
Mm.
On your side, you can doll up and posh yourself up and give people the impression you're all proper doolally tap, you know.
Where did he get all this knowledge?
Don't ask me.
By watching people like you.
Oh, I say, Nicky.
One learns from human beings, auntie.
Mm-hmm. I'm a most sober member of society.
I didn't say you weren't sober. I certainly didn't think you took to drink.
Oh.
You go around to mediums a lot, don't you?
Well, I have been doing because, you see, of my book. But this is my main contact, you see.
Mm.
But in the beginning, I happen to be very fond of mediums. I think they're all such interesting people, apart from their gifts, their psychic gifts.
Oh, yes, most of them are. They're a bit odd, some of them. Most of them are a bit touched. Well, I suppose in a way they couldn't be mediums unless they were different, could they?
No.
They're very sort of peculiar somehow.
Well, I found them very all-round, actually, Mickey.
Oh, yes.
Hmm.
Oh, well, I won't go into mediums. That's one of my things.
Is it?
Hold on.
Thank you, Mickey. Hello, darling.
Quite an amusing conversation.
Very amusing.
Yes. But actually, he's a very, very wise young man.
Yes.
Extremely wise, and a lot of his nonsense is neither here nor there, just covers up a great deal. But when he likes, he can be most intelligent.
Can he? Yes.
Thanks.
Thank
what
you.
What was that he said?
I thought he said thank you. Do you meet him then on the other side?
Is he
a teacher?
I usually meet him here.
Oh, yes.
I have not had very much to do with him over here. He's very much, indeed, one might almost say he spends a tremendous amount of his time on Earth. He's so associated with the medium, of course, that he assimilates a great deal from Earth conditions and learns a lot from the Earth. Strange as it may seem, you'd think that when you pass over, that you'd necessarily learn everything here. Well, that's true in a sense, but it's amazing, as he says, how much you can learn by being interested, as one can be from this side, even more so in Earth conditions and above all people.
Yes.
One can see so much in human nature, one can learn from it.
Yes.
We can learn from each other, of course.
Yes.
What should we talk about?
Well, you said last time it was better not to have any preconceived ideas.
Well, it's true,
a hindrance.
I suppose it is rather a hindrance. Although there are occasions when perhaps you may want me to talk on a particular theme, and I thought perhaps if there was anything in particular that I could talk to you about, then I would, you see.
Yes. Well, now let me see. Do you think at some future date all the world religions will unite and sort of embrace all that is best in each religion?
Frankly, no.
You don't?
It may sound rather a strange answer. I don't think that religions as such can unite, but I think that people will unite, and they will discard a tremendous amount of that religious background and beliefs, because common sense and experience and knowledge which will come to them will force them to do that. I think that as soon as you become spiritually wise, then almost automatically you discard many old worn-out creeds and dogmas and ideas and conceptions and what have you. I think that is to be expected. When you talk about religions and creeds coming together, no. But people, yes. And in consequence, as they become more one, and their knowledge increases, and their spiritual endeavor brings an entirely different state of being, they will, of course, get rid of all these barriers to their development.
Oh, thank you, darling. That's very interesting. That's a much better prospect, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
And when, of course, we've a sort of scientific contact between the two worlds,
well,
you spoke of it last time.
That, of course, has to come. I am absolutely convinced that what will bring peoples together is the fact that science itself will eventually make possible communication between our world and yours. It will, quite accidentally, I feel sure, hit upon something which they were not anticipating or expecting, which will open the door, scientifically, to our world, if I can put it like that.
Yes.
All this going into outer space, which possibly so many people feel is an absolute waste of money and time, isn't really. Although the people concerned do not anticipate it, I feel that going into outer space, they are going to discover so many things which will link up with what we've tried to tell you for so long, and gradually evidence will come of such a nature it will be generally accepted and understood and applied in life. And also I do feel that the investigations into space will bring the Earth peoples closer together. They'll realize the futility of war. I think they will gradually dispense with arms, and I think that the nations will become more united and the barriers will be broken down. Science, I do feel, in this space age, opens up tremendous possibilities, and I think it will be eventually the salvation of the world.
Oh, how splendid, darling. I think you put that very well.
I don't say it's going to happen in the next few weeks or months, and it may take another 20, 30 years.
Yes.
It's difficult, in fact, impossible to say how long, but the amazing thing is that they have already, although they haven't come out of it, and possibly don't yet fully understand it, they have already had clear indications in outer space of something which could be akin to what you term spiritualism. I don't mean that they have seen entities or that they've been in touch with them, but they have begun to realize that much that has been taught through this subject is applicable and much more scientifically understandable.
Yes.
I don't think that completely mediums will be done away with as such. I don't mean that because science itself opens the door much more widely, that instruments as such, or mediums as you know them, will be completely old-fashioned or not necessary. Because the human element, you see, the mind, the individual must always come into this, whether it's by a scientist in his investigation or his effort, or whether it is in a more spiritual sense. What I'm trying to say is that out of all this science will come a spiritual science. It won't be a material science. It will be as much a spiritual one. There will be a greater widening of the horizon, and those who are now applying science in a very materialistic sense will become, in consequence of their knowledge and extension of knowledge, they'll become more spiritually scientific.
Yes.
And that is what you need. You need, in your world, to bring the human races together, you need a spiritual science.
Yes.
Because, in my opinion, majority of religions, their religions, although basically have the same truth, they are, unfortunately, majority of them, if not all, really, to some degree or less degree, are materialistic.
I see, yes.
You see, man has put his own construction, has built, as it were, his own idea about these things, and in consequence, man has become very materialistic in his religious acceptance. Although he accepts things of a spiritual nature, he has little or no proof of these things at all. He's built up creeds and dogmas which obscure even the small amount of truth that has permeated to the earth, In other words, man himself has made spiritual truth a material thing. The conception is all wrong.
I see, yes. That's very interesting, dear.
You see, man must have religion. It seems to me that man is lost without it. It's true there are innumerable numbers of people who have no religion in the sense that they go to church, for instance, or they read their Bible and so on. But even so, it's sort of inherent that, particularly in time of trouble and stress, even though they're not particularly religious as such, they then begin to think a little more deeply about it. And it's there. But the fundamental truth is all right. But it's man's conception, it's man's ideas that are all wrong. This idea that religion is some sort of insurance policy in which if you pay in, you draw dividends later on, is all wrong. In other words, if you go to church regularly and you accept certain things that you're expected to accept by the church, that automatically when you come here you'll be all right, is a big fallacy.
Yes, I think very few people would believe that today, yeah. Darling. There would be perhaps a few, not many. You know.
You see, I have come to the conclusion that man may be shown the way, he can be given the path, he can be helped a little on that path, and we are allowed, and we do, and we love to help people, naturally. But the whole thing is that man must still stand on his own two feet. No one can do it for you. No one can save you. The power of salvation is within yourself.
Yes, that's very interesting. Yes.
Besides, what kind of salvation would it be if you had to depend on someone else? If they had to suffer and they had to give up everything just for even people they'd never even met or heard of, people who were unborn. I'm not by this denying the fundamental Christian truth, but I do object, and I certainly have every cause to realize that man has made of what was purely a spiritual revelation, is given to such a material conception. You must realize that life has been given to man for experience, to develop his own self, to gain knowledge and experience, to unfold his spiritual faculties. The majority of people in your world, they develop their physical material gifts, they do nothing about their spiritual gifts, which are inherent within them. You are born with a physical body, which grows and develops, and knowledge also. But the point is, very few realize that they have a spiritual body. They have spiritual faculties, spiritual possibilities. Most people, from birth to grave, know nothing about their spiritual selves. The church doesn't teach it either.
Neither.
I expect sometimes you wonder why it is that I have changed so. And yet you shouldn't wonder. After all, I could hardly be otherwise. I could hardly come into a state of being such as I know and not change.
No, I quite understand that. But I am fully in sympathy with everything you've said.
I'm not against religion. I would not like anyone to think that I was against religion. When individuals are sincere. But what I do feel is such a pity, and which obscures truth, is all these man-made ideas, these rituals and ceremonies, this constant repetition, which in itself can do no good whatsoever.
Yeah, and this salvation through the blood of the Lamb is also absurd, isn't it?
All this comes, obviously, from paganism, way back centuries before Christ even came into the world.
Yes, that's
quite
true.
Christ did live. Christ was a great prophet and a great seer. He had been given the power to demonstrate the gifts of the Spirit. He was indeed truly a son of God. But man has made him into something which is impossible almost and inaccessible. Once you realize that Christ was a human being with great spiritual consciousness and awareness and ability, then he becomes understandable, reachable. One can accept him, one can follow him and become, as he said, we should become like him.
Yes, yes, I quite see that, darling.
But when you give him this mysticism, this strange, weird, unnatural mysticism, it destroys completely what Christ really was and what he really meant and what he was. was and could be.
Yes. Have you seen him at all on your side?
Oh, yes.
I've seen Jesus.
Great soul.
I see.
Great soul.
Yes.
Occasionally he enters into the other spheres and brings such wonderful peace and such philosophy, such teaching, such love.
Yes.
It's impossible to depict and describe it. But there again, you see, the more highly evolved you become, and the more spiritualized you become, the more you are able to affect others and help them.
Yes.
And he is an extraordinary, most magnificent personality.
Yes. Oh, how wonderful to have had the
but
privilege of meeting him.
But not inaccessible.
Oh.
You see, now...
Well, I don't think he was on Earth.
No, he was not inaccessible. And he's far more interested in those whose need is great.
Yes.
And he goes down to lower spheres often, as indeed do many great teachers and prophets.
Yes.
And he influences people on your side too, where he can.
Yes.
You know, I love coming to talk to you.
Well,
I'm so glad
lovely.
You could manage it today. I was rather worried, wondering if you would be able to.
Yeah, I thought I couldn't yesterday because the snow was very heavy.
You're coming next week, I believe.
Yes, that's quite
good.
True, dear.
I'm so happy about this.
Yes.
It means we can talk to each other every week.
Yes, well, it's been worth coming all this way to hear.
I must go now, but all my love and blessings.
Thank
you,
dear.
See you next week.
That's right, yes. Thank you for coming, darling.
God bless.
God bless.
You go home to your attic.
Yes, it's
I like your attic.
Well, I'm so glad you've come. Bye-bye, Mickey.
Do you live in an attic?
Well, I've got a little attic flat, you know. I like being above, you know. I'm rather up, I think, on the whole and down. Isn't he? Really is a caution, isn't he?
Yes, it's a character.
But I've never, it's never come out to such extent as it has today, with not with me, you know.
Oh, Mickey's
he's lovely. He rather shakes you out of your little rut, which I think is rather good, don't you?